We will explore verses 16 to 23. Verse 16 to 23. Psalm 55, verses 16 to 23. Psalm 55, verses 16 to 23. Verse 16, let me commence. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, Selah, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than buffer or than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O Lord, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. May it be as thy word says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May thy Holy Spirit, Lord, cover me behind the cross. And may you be magnified and glorified in this word that can encourage us and give us strength in time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you can see here, that this is a prayer, a psalm that is a prayer for God's help when threatened by a powerful conspiracy in Jerusalem under the leadership of the son, this is Absalom, and a co-conspirator of a former friend, close friend. Now the Bible is full of pain, as you can see in this psalm. I pray that we can all identify in this. Pains of all kinds. As you can see, that pain in life are always there, no matter how close we are to God. Many of the psalms are anguish cries for people who are being tormented. Psalm 55 stands out as one that is about psychological distress. All our distresses actually comes from our mind when we are faced with such different trials. The word burden in verse 22 implies one's circumstances, one's lot. The psalmist promises that the Lord will uphold the believer in the struggles of life. We associate it with David in this particular text, and there were times in his life when he screamed to high heaven because of the way events are transforming before him and against him. The writer of this psalm is distraught and filled with fear before the terrors of death, shaking with fear and trembling, crying out to God in his distress, as you can see in verse 6 to 8. If you're going to look verses 6 to 8, there you can identify how he felt about it. So I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." In this picture, as we can see, with this various pain, emotional pain, physical pain, and mental pain, that the writer tried to picture, tried to describe here how he is going through. And therefore, you and I can write our own psalm for that matter, and can be read by everyone. Because most people, that includes you and me, unbelievers, go through times like this. And those of us who know the fierce cruelty of physical and mental pain, or both of this, cannot help being somewhat startled by the simple command at the end of the psalm, which is, "Cast your cares or your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Sufferers wouldn't take this from just anyone. They would have to know that the person speaking to them or counseling them had been through agony. Well, we know that it's true in this case, in our text, about King David. And the writer here himself is doubled up or experiencing this misery which is above his head already. Says, "Give it all over to the Lord." When he says in verse 22, "Cast your cares, cast your burden." And the Hebrew word for cares or burden is used only once in the Bible. It refers to the broadest and widest sense, not just the specific item that causes you discomfort right now or in the past. But that item and all the specific item that causes you and I discomfort right now or in the past, but that item and all the other cares that we have joined together can be perhaps surface out at the moment and see how we can identify with the psalmist. When we are distressed by something physical, mental, emotional, or whatever, and that something is affecting everything else in our lives, we are told here to cast our burden, our everything on the Lord, and that he will sustain us. Do you think with that help, even by just memorizing, keep repeating this very important and encouraging verse? Well, there it is for us. It is in black and white. It is before us. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is always possible. That if we cast our burden upon the Lord, he will sustain us. In fact, he's waiting for us. When our burden is unbearable, he's waiting for us. Just like our Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, ye who are labor and are heavy laden. Cast your burden upon me." And take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest to your soul. Learn of me, for I am lowly in spirit, that you might find rest to your soul. Pain researchers, that includes the psychiatrists and psychologists, nowadays are making important discoveries on how they can treat the tortuous pain some people endure. They check the nerve and the pathways that lead from the injured area to the spine and up into the brain, and they devise blockers that will thwart the merciless enemy. Well, one of our sister here experienced that. And it's only by God's grace that that trapped nerve between the spinal column on the back of the neck was timely spotted. And they have this modern equipment to remove that trap, to reduce the weight of that bone that crushes that nerve, which in few months, if that was not done, it would paralyze her. And grace, by God's grace, thank God, we all thank God for that, that she was spared from that. The Psalm 55 is in another realm. The main idea in Psalms, the psalmist's word sustain, is talking about the total care that God wants us to have and to appropriate with the writer of this psalm. With no detail overlooked, it includes everything that we are struggling with our work, with our the demands of our families, and the call for a total abandonment of the self into total care, trusting care of God. We have to cast our everything, our burdens to God, and all our stressors and troubles. That includes everything in one in those words, our burdens. And he will respond with what is needed to carry us through. He may take the pain away, or, to be honest, and let's face this, or he may not. But we may not understand it while we are alive, but God will, in the process of time, perhaps in this life or in the life, in heaven, he may reveal it to us. But one thing is certain, he will sustain every believer's faith-filled people of God, or his redeemed people, when they turn their everything, their concerns, and the burdens of their lives over to him. We must understand that these are not just words here depicted for us as though they are a suitably spiritual response dreamed up by a poet as something that will make a good ending for a poem dealing with agony. No, this is the Holy Spirit word sent our way by the God who revealed himself through our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered more than any of us will ever do. The suffering of Christ was an experience, extraordinary experience of his entire being, in which his blessed divinity sustained his anguished humanity. It was the divine that enabled him to endure death and hell and brought him through the glorious victory that is for us. We who suffer now must turn everything to Christ, and he will sustain us as he was sustained by the Father. Can we ask for anything more? When someone said that when we have in Christ, we have everything. When we are in Christ, we have everything. And yet, that can be easily said than experience it in the totality of its truth. For instance, how can we apply now and go to the New Testament in the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ about this sustaining grace that's available for the believer? I ask you to turn with me in John 6, 44 to 45, if you will. John 6. John 6, 44 to 45. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." The Lord Jesus in this particular text is very clearly laying down here for us a rule which applies to every single case of our lives or events of our lives. Whether you are an unbeliever or a believer, as you can see, many come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the ages, those who come to Christ constitute, without being numbered, because of the various crowds that started when he came here on earth, that draws those crowds to himself, so that they will not only be ministered physically, but spiritually. And even today, even though he is now up in heaven, in the glorious presence with his Heavenly Father, there are greater in number that want to seek and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And in their moment of need, whether spiritual, whether salvation-wise, but even comfort, yet, I must emphasize this, yet not one of them has come to Christ in any other way than that the Father has drawn him. It is a universal rule. It is the only rule applicable in every man's needs. No one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ except that when the Father draws that person to him and to his Son. It's not our effort. And we must not forget, those who come to Christ are those who are given to Christ only. You can see that in verse 37 of John 6 in our text. Look what it says. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Jesus uses different ways to describe faith. Even use in 45 to 51, about eating Christ's body and drinking his blood, which means in Christ, we can come to him as faith, by faith. And following Christ is believing in him. Even in John 10:4, says that. And we too come to Christ when we believe in him. To come to Christ is to believe that he is the eternal Son of God. Without that specific truth in mind, that he is the eternal Son of God, we cannot come to the Father. And yet, as the scripture says in John 20:31, that he is the eternal Son of God, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So to come to Christ is to recognize the deep need of ourselves for Christ. If we don't sense that deep need, even those who have come to say they are, and claim that they are Christian, but without that deep need and recognizing our need for washing through His precious blood, we cannot enjoy that privilege because we miss that deep need for Christ. And because of the fact that we have that heartfelt need, because of the fact that we are so evil and so wicked by nature, that we are unable to do any righteous deed for our own salvation. So to come to Christ is to believe that He is the only all-sufficient Savior. The only one. There's no other Christ. Well, people may probably say, oh, there's another Christ that they know, but He's not the eternal Son of God. But that's not their God. They only know that which was begotten here on earth. But let us not mix up with those false teaching. We have an eternal Son of God who was with the Father even since the beginning of time. Our mind cannot understand this, but the Word of God says that. So, in coming to Him, we must realize the truth and be established and be stirred up that He is the only sufficient Savior. Not only in times of salvation, but in our daily walk with Him. In whom alone we can find blessedness for this life and for the life to come. We can and will go to none other as Savior. For none other name can save us. Christ is our all. Finally, we can also take comfort in the encouragement that the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Let's turn to that quickly. Philippians 4. Six to seven. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God, dearly beloved, is the opposite of anxiety or cares or burden. It is the very tranquility that comes, or the peace that comes only when every believer commits all their cares to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And all our worries will stop troubling us. Amen. Amen.